The lesson that we will be studying here this morning is for those of us that are New Testament Christians. It's for the very old and it's for the very young Christian. And I was thinking prior to getting up here about the lesson. And we have some visitors here in this congregation this morning that fits the profile of spiritual growth. And the reason I say that is that they are not from this local area. But when they found out that they were coming to this local area, they look for a congregation to worship with. That is a sign of spiritual growth. The ones that do not grow, they will go to an area and they will be in that area for 20 years before they darken the door of the Lord's house. And when they do come in, I am an inquisitive person. I ask questions. I ask, where you come from? How did you find us? How long have you been in this area? And sometimes you know you get answers such as, I've been here for 2 years. And now my curiosity is running again. Well, where have you been worshiping? Nowhere. Now that's a sign of a person that they have not grown in the Lord. They are very weak. And we also have members in the congregation that are weak. And those of us who are strong, we are to go out of our way to help those individuals grow. We have new converts. And you know, in every congregation, it does not make a difference where. Every congregation, when you get new converts, we jump there immediately, try to be of a service. And you know, before the month is over, nothing happens. Either we don't continue to try to inspire them to grow, or they in turn tell us in so many ways, don't bother me. I don't have the time. I'll grow when I want to. And so what we do, I have this tendency in my life, if I try to do something and I say something and somebody jump on me, I put my hands up and walk away. Because I'm not going to fight you no more. But then my conscience gets the best of me and I come back and start all over. But you know, spiritual growth is a choice. See, you just don't grow. You have to work on it. You have to work to grow. You know, the Bible tells us that all the spiritual blessings are in Jesus Christ. We have to get into Jesus. We have to know what it's all about, and we have to grow. In baptism, we are washed. You know, that old person that we used to be, is supposed to be dead. And when we come out the water, there is a regeneration, a renewing of the spirit to cause us to be Christians. But what happens, we seem to be Christians only for a moment or two, and then we go back into the world. That's not the way it's supposed to. But you know, the Bible tells us something that is very important. The Bible tells us that you and I are very special to God because He sent His Son to die in our place. And He does not want us to suffer eternal damnation. Because you know, the Bible says the lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for us. But what we do, knowingly, you remember as a kid, some of the kid games, You go skipping. That's what we do. We just skip right on to the pitfalls of hell because we don't pay attention to God's word and we don't grow. Titus 3 and verse 5 tells us this. It says, not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Romans 6 and verse 4 tells us this. We were buried therefore with him through baptism into death. And like as Christ, we was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. I don't know about you, but I know how I was before I became a Christian. I was not, in some cases, a likable person. I did things that was contrary to God's word, thinking that they were good. But I was on the outside looking in, not knowing that my life was leading me straight to hell by the things that I was doing. But once I became a Christian, my eyes was open. And as I studied, I realized that if I want to be pleasing to God, I would have to do what God wants. And the older I get, the more convicted I have become that I have a job to do. Now, people may not want to hear what you have to say, but your job is to plant the seeds. In Christ, we find the concept of growing spiritually. But it's up to us. A healthy spiritual life is a process of growth. As I said earlier or alluded to, sadly, all Christians do not grow. Think about wherever your congregation is. Think about all the people that the church had to disfellowship from. Why? They didn't grow. They failed to grow. They quit growing. So, the strong Christians, according to God's word, we had a job to do. Try to bring them back or to let them go. Sometimes you ask people, how long have you been a Christian? And they may say, I've been a Christian for 20 years. But when you look at their life, it doesn't bear the fruit of a Christian. They don't act like a Christian. And I heard this, that some people that have been Christians for a period of time, they said they have never brought anyone to Christ. Now, I'm not saying all of us go bring people to Christ, but have you tried? Have you tried to teach somebody? Have you saw somebody where you work and you strove to teach them the gospel? If you haven't went out your way to try, you need to do so. You know, we had a gospel meeting here, and one of the things that the preacher said, and I've been doing it myself, hopefully you've been doing it, I have been praying for doors of opportunity. So that means you have to live your light, your life as a light, so that opportunity possibly can come along. You don't have to say many words, but just live for the Lord. There are some Christians, they're not useful to the Lord. They say they're Christian, but they're not useful. And from what we have studied since I've been here in this congregation, and you probably studied elsewhere, God has a way of weeding out those that's not his. it may be me, or maybe you, that somehow you're not doing your job, you're failing the Lord, and He is going to weed you out. Simple as that. Because we have been told in Acts by Paul, he says, from among you will be grievous wolves. From among the church is going to be problem people. But I believe if you strive to grow, that wouldn't be a problem. When we fail to grow, we will be stagnant. You've been around a pool of water that nothing comes in, nothing comes out, and it's foul. That's what's going to happen to us if we fail to grow. Spiritual growth, as I said, is a choice, and it is a command that we are to grow. So if you're not growing, you're not doing your job. You know, we do have, I see one very young child, or two, three, four. We got a few little ones. Now, unless something physically happened to them to stunt their growth, they're going to automatically grow. They're going to be tall as us, bigger than us. They're going to grow. But the mind requires help, whether it's educational, whether it's jobs, it requires help. And it's the same thing for a Christian. It requires a new way of thinking. And if you don't develop that new way of thinking, your guess for eternity will be Satan and his angels. Because that's what the Bible says. Spiritual growth is sort of like emotional maturity. When we decide to grow and to do things, we will do so. If we don't make that choice, we don't stick to it, we're not going to grow. You know, I have this thing about me, for those that I like, the people that I do like, I harass them. I give them a hard time. Now, some people say, Cookie, grow up. No, I ain't growing up. Because that's my way of showing them that I care for you. Just be that little slight annoyance. But the thing is, when it comes to spiritual growth, it's something different. Your whole behavior changes. You know, in Matthew 28, we're all familiar with verses 18 through 20. God gave the commission to his disciples. And we know, we did a study here one time about commandments and all of that. And I thought about that, and some people say, well, that's not a commandment. But you know, when you look at the whole Bible, it is God telling us what to do. Whether he says, Joe, do it, or he says, do this. It's a commandment. He's saying it. But we say, well, he didn't say that. Fine. The Great Commission. He said this to these individuals. He said, and Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now here's the trick. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Now Jesus has told them, I am it. This is me. Go out there, teach people, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things which I have taught you. We as disciples, we are to be learners, listeners, and doers. We are to do those things which God says. Obedience is what God wants from us. And as soon as we say no, we have separated ourselves from God. Now, whether you like that or not, that is it. In the apostles' epistles, we have certain commands, certain things we are to do, such as 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Now he says this, and there is no way we can get out of it. He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus. How do you do that? You've got to get into your Bible and study. You've got to know what God requires from us. And there's something that it just sticks to me, and I say it over and over and over, and I don't quite understand the concept. But God is telling me, Cookie, you got to love people. You got to put people in front of yourself. I said, God, why? They don't do that to me. Why should I do that to them? But you know, he didn't ask because he says, do it. So if every one of us that's a Christian, no matter where we are, we did that, put others before us, look at others' welfare instead of ours, we would grow. But that's not what happens. We don't do that. We are to grow in grace, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through 8, and most of us know this. As a Christian, as a young Christian, we just don't come out of the water and that's it. There's other things that we have to do. And it took the letter of Peter to inform us of this. Peter says in 2 Peter 1, starting with verse 5, yea, for this very cause add on your part all diligence in your faith, supply virtue. And in your virtue, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in self-control, patience. And in your patience, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. And I know you had lessons on each one of those things. But think about what he says. We need to add to our faith these things. And if we do that, we're going to be better Christians. Because all of us got faults. All of us are lacking in something. Are you lacking in self-control? Or you're lacking in patience. At my job, it's really interesting, is I work at a resort, and everybody comes there want sunshine and life to be grand for them. I'm kind sometimes. You know, say like last week we had rain, and I wish it would rain. I wish it would stop raining. I want the sun. And it depends on my frame of mind, which direction I go. But most of the time I said, you know, we don't have control of the weather. There's somebody greater than us that's controlling this weather. We just got to make do. And someplace out there, the weather is a whole lot better than it is here. But you decided to come here. That's your problem. I told one gentleman, he said, oh, I wish the sun shine. I said, well, you know, above 10,000 feet, the sun is out. The sun's there. It's just as cloudy here. We got to make do. But I understand they pay all of this money to have a good time, and they have to suffer with bad weather. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. But the problem is, somebody's in charge. Somebody has given us an order, and it's up to us to follow it out. You know, the Bible says we're in the army of the Lord. Now, think about this. We have a few folks who are in the military. When you're in the military, you have a commander. You have somebody over you. They give you an order. You can't say no. You got to do what they're told. Because if you said no, there will be a consequence. It's the same thing in the Lord's army. You say no to growing, there's going to be a consequence. You know, spiritual growth requires diligent effort. Now, and I say these things because I have observed people all my life, or at least most of it. Some folks get bachelor's degrees. Some folks is the head of this and head of that. And, you know, like out there, they have a conference for eye doctors. They have conference for all these fancy people. Did they get there just by waking up one morning? Or did they have to work to get to the top of the... We know the answer. In your profession, in what you do, they just didn't look at you and say, oh, I like the way you look. Be whatever. You had to work to get there. You spent many hours. You spent much money, education, getting to the point you are. But then when you become a Christian, you say, I can't do it. I don't buy that, and neither does God. It requires an effort for us to study, for us to say, I want to be the very best person I can, and put forth an effort. Allow people to help you learn. Because when we first start off, we're just as dumb as a door. But if we have that desire, and somebody see that desire in us, they're going to work with us and help us to grow. I know when we first started off as Christians, we had Bible studies all the time. And I'm glad we had them. But now it's almost like pulling teeth to get a Bible study with Christians. It's rough filling this building up on a Wednesday or a Sunday. If you love the Lord, you're going to be here because this is the place to be. And I'm not saying we got to work. I understand that. But if you have a choice, do the Lord's work. Grow. Grow. Spiritual growth requires a concentrated effort. We find in John 6:27 this. Work not for the food which perisheth, but for the food which abideth into eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him the Father, even God, has sealed. In other words, when we know what thus says the Lord and how to behave, that is the food that's going to preserve us in that last day. Because the Bible also tells us there is a book. And if our name is not in that book, we're lost. So now, if you're not obeying God, just keep on not obeying God. You will go exactly where you want to go. That's it. But if you want to go to heaven, You change your life around. You study how God wants you to live. And you do those things that He wants. And that is to go out there and be a light to the world. That is to go out there and every opportunity that you have, you speak God's word. Not just laughing like everyone else. In Philippians 2 and verse 12, it says this. So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In verse 3, starting with 13 through 14, brethren, I could not myself yet have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forth to the things which are ahead, I press on towards the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you want to go to heaven, you must make the choice to grow and to do all of those things which God wants us to do. And you know, growing is not difficult. We're not by ourselves. We are assisted by God. We are assisted by our brothers and sisters if we all are doing the same thing. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says this. So then, my beloved. We read that already, but it wouldn't hurt to read it again. Not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. 13. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So in other words, we have a job to do because God says, do it. We can't, you know, if you ask this question, would you in your right mind say no to God? Most people are going to say what? Uh-uh. But look at our lives as Christians. We're saying it constantly. Uh-uh. And so if you don't straighten out, the end result is not going to be pleasant. God strengthen us in our efforts to do His will. Ephesians 3:16 says this, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, that ye may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man. We also find in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Ephesians 6, looking at verse 10 through 11, says this, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And in Philippians 4:13 it says this, I can do all things in him who strengthened me. Spiritual growth is a choice. There's also blessings in this life as a Christian, and God blesses us. If you remember 2 Peter 3 in verse 18, it says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Now, sometimes we may not understand the blessings that we get from God. You know, we want the new this, the new that, and we may never get it. But if we trust in God and do what he wants, we're going to have eternal life. Because he's never promised us the rose garden. He never promised us everything was going to be peachy king. He says, obey me and you will go to heaven. But we want the riches of the Jones and everybody else. And that's not it. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Spiritual growth is what we all should be trying to accomplish. But I want to share with you some scriptures that God tells us that if this is you, you're going to be in trouble. Not everybody is going to grow. Some people's heart does not grow with the love of God. In Matthew 13 and verse 15, we're told this, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest happily they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and should turn again, and I should heal them. Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall be multiplied, the love of the many shall wax cold. Galatians 6 and verse 9. And let us not grow weary in doing and well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13 says this, but ye brethren, be not weary in well doing. Ephesians 4:22, that ye put away, as concerning your former manner of life, the old man, that waxed corrupt after the lust of deceit. Remember Timothy said this to the young widows in 1 Timothy 5:11. But younger widows refuse, for when they have waxed wanton against Christ, they desire to marry. 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and impostors shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The lack of growth is like cancer. And we all understand how cancer works. Sooner or later, it kills you. It may go away for a period of time, but it will come back and it will kill you. You know, I've heard this, and please don't take this the wrong way. You hear people say, I've beaten cancer. And they die by a truck. They didn't beat cancer. They just died by truck. But we know cancer has a habit of somewhere, if we live long enough, to come back. And hopefully we can find a cure. But not growing is just like cancer. It's going to kill you. Spiritual growth, as I said earlier, has been commanded by God. It requires diligence. We are assisted by God and we are blessed by God if we grow. If we don't grow, heaven is not going to be ours. And I know this for a fact, because we all do it. We're not immune. All of us talk. We talk about people. How do we talk about people? Well, it just depends. But all of us know who we think is weak. We've all identified one another way. He's weak, she's weak. Why don't you do something about it? Why don't you help them grow? Instead of sitting back, yep, he's weak, she's weak, they ain't gonna amount to nothing. Help them amount to something if you are such the big deal. Because that's what Christ wants. Christ does not want a failing church. And if we all did our part, at least we will be strong. Because it's in God's hand whether this building overflows or not. But it is in your hand to grow, to be pleasing to God. And if you choose not to do that, you're being weeded out. It's as simple as that. So now, if you want this congregation to grow, you do your part by growing and doing the Lord's will. And then, if that is the will of the Lord, that this building explodes, then it will happen. But we got to grow. We got to give ourselves. We have talked about evangelism. You got to get out there and work. It ain't going to happen. We can't find a special man to do it. You do it. Every one of us is surrounded by people. What are you doing? What are you saying? Are you letting them know that, hey, there's something better out there? Do you speak up when you need to speak up? Example, and then we have our invitation song. I had the job of going down to the laundry room to pick up our dry cleaners. And you know how we are as people, you know, we think we're so cute and got to say something. But this one young man says, yeah, when you go down, I already know who I've got to see. You know, I know quite a few people. Yeah, you got to go down there and find the ugliest woman. I said, now why did you say that? I said, you know, I said, one day you could get married and you could have a child. And that child may be the ugliest thing in the world. And think of all the people that's going to say, look at that ugly child. And you as a parent, and we know every parent knows this, we hurt for our children. We can't help the way they are, the way they look. We don't like nobody talking about them, but we think, ugly this. Somehow, it may come back to haunt you. See? We got to speak up. That was simple. You know, I didn't get ignorant at it, but I just told him. Just simple thing in life. It comes back to me. They may not like me, but hey, that's the way life goes. But we got to stand up for what's right. If you're not a Christian, as Brother Joe just said one time in his lesson, and the lesson was great, but the bottom line is, if you're not a Christian, you're going to hell. Simple as that. You don't have to go. All you got to do is obey God, because he has laid the plan down, and you just have to do your part of it. If you're a Christian that have backslid, when you started backsliding, God has separated himself from you. So you're on your way to hell too. All you got to do is repent. If you need the prayers of the congregation, we will gladly pray for you. So whatever it is that you require of this congregation, please make it known.